Okay, so ladies, so now that we have chatted about the noise of our souls and even the truth of who God is, I want us to dive a little bit deeper. In this session, I want us to practically look at how we can combat anxiety. And I know that maybe not all of you struggle with this personally, but it is the most prominent noise that people struggle with. According to the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, 40 million Americans struggle with anxiety. And so, although maybe you don't struggle with it personally, you probably know somebody who does. And even if this isn't your area of temptation, I want you to know that all of those noises, these are the steps that you take to work through those noises. So if, let's say, anxiety wasn't yours, but maybe despair was, this is still the same steps that you're going to take. We're just going to talk about it in an anxiety example, okay? So what is anxiety? According to Merriam-Webster, anxiety is an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, which is often marked by physical signs, such as tension, sweating, increased pulse rate, and then by doubt concerning the reality of the nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capability to cope with it. I don't think that anxiety always means that there has to be a major physical sign that sends you to the ER, like it did me, but it is that sense of trying to control circumstances in your life. It's that constantly thinking about that certain area of your life. And it might show itself physically, like in a panic attack like I had, or stomach issues, headaches, not sleeping at night, or even a shortness in your tone. Anxiety is the subset of fear that leads to the emotion of uncertainty. It's worrying about all of the possibilities that can take place. And often, we are anxious about certain areas of our lives. We all have different areas, like our health, our marriage or our singleness, our work, children, extended family, and hobbies. And oftentimes, the things that we feel anxious about are the ones that we are not as confident in. For example, someone might have more anxiety over their marriage or their job, but less over their hobby, which they're really talented in. So we need to evaluate what are the areas of our lives that we tend to stress in. So think through, are the areas in your life that you tend to be anxious about? For me personally, it often has shown up in either my health or my children. And this would flesh out for me in stressing out over my kids, you know, like, will my schooling be enough? Are my kids obeying me? Are people judging me because of my kids? Or it would flesh out in my health in that the slightest pain would freak me out. And I always think that I was dying or something like that. Or if somebody was sick around me, I was very like, you stand over there. So what are the areas for you? If you are thinking about something nonstop and you can't get it out of your mind, that could be the sign that you are anxious. So if while you're trying to have your quiet time, you keep playing out scenarios in your head, or if while playing with your kids or your grandkids, your mind is kind of stuck on repeat with something else, then this is an indicator that you could be anxious, fearful, or angry. And yet God never designed us to handle life on our own. Remember Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God calls us all to come to him and find rest, and only in him is there rest. We can't stop. We can stop striving and trying to do it on our own, because ultimately in him, our fear is at rest. I mean, honestly, most people are most fearful of death. And yet through his son, he's conquered death. I mean, when we have accepted Christ, death isn't the end. It's just the beginning. And so through recognizing our sin and our need for him, by seeing and receiving Jesus and turning from our sin, we can fear no more. And we can trust that he is enough for us, the one who has conquered our greatest fear. So really, anxiety is that fear that I'm not going to get what I want or what I think I need. It is driven by unbelief and discontentment. And thus, anxiety tends to be a spiritual problem. And I realized in my own ER visit that it had little to do with what was going on physically with me, but really what was going on inside my heart. So let's jump into how do we spiral down into anxiety, and then we're going to get also how do we practically combat this. So number one, the root of our anxiety is our unbelief in God. It isn't that we don't believe everything about Him, but there's something that we're not believing. So what is unbelief? Unbelief is rejecting what God says is true. In Romans 1:25, it's where we exchange the truth for God for a lie. But the sin of unbelief is hard to notice. We tend to notice the surface sin of anxiety, anger, or despair, but finding the root of unbelief can be very challenging because we like to tell ourselves in our anxious moments to just stop it, which I don't know about you, but that does not help me. That just makes it worse. We have to find, though, the root of all of our sins. I mean, something can't be true and also not true. We can't believe that God is love, but that He doesn't love me. We can't believe that He forgives, as the Bible says, but that He won't forgive my sin. We can't believe that He's in control, but He's not in control of this circumstance. So how does that practically flesh out in our lives? You're thinking to yourself right now, I believe what God says about Himself. Yes, maybe mentally, but does what you believe flesh out in your life? Because if you do believe, then there will be peace in your heart. For some of you, do you believe that God loves you? That there is nothing you can do to earn His love or take away His love? Because often when trials hit us, that is the first thing that we doubt, His love for us. One of my sons had major health issues his senior year. He had a major concussion, which apparently you can have physical therapy for. Who knew? He also had kidney stones. He had major dietary issues. We had to give up gluten, dairy, and corn. And I just want you to know, corn's in every ingredient out there. And he also had a major shoulder issue, and he was a baseball player. So he had nonstop physical issues. And he kept asking God, why? Why is this happening to me? And struggling to believe that the Lord loved him, because why would He let all of this happen to him? For some of you, do you believe that God is always in control? Yes, that even means in a pandemic, elections, the diagnosis, the loss of someone or something, that He is still in control. That when you lose what you thought you needed, He is still there and loves you. For me, this has shown up often in my life that I struggle to believe His control. I remember when I was visiting my family in Cambodia, and my husband called me to tell me that my sister had suddenly died. My sister was not a believer to my understanding, and I struggled to believe that God was in control of that. For some of you, do you believe that God forgives your sins? Yes, I know you're thinking to yourself, but you don't know how sinful I am. That's true, but I do know how sinful I am. And yet His word says that He forgives us. I mean, think of it like when you buy a car, a used car, and you're kind of scared to get the lemon on the lot because you don't want it to break down as soon as you get home. But the Lord knew what He was getting when He got you. He knew you would continue to sin. He knew where you would fail. And He knew that what He did on the cross was enough for you. We can't gain our view of God through our experiences. We can only view Him through Scripture. Ladies, we've got to let that sink in. You can only view God through Scripture, not how you experience life. Our unbelief is rejecting what God says is true and accepting man's reasoning over God. Let me explain further from the book of Mark. I love the Gospel of Mark because it's just fast and throw it in your face, which is kind of like me. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. All right. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 40. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you still afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Okay, here the disciples are. They've been walking with Jesus and they're in the boat and life is going crazy. I mean, this isn't just some little storm. The actual translation is it's a hurricane. And the waves are crashing in on them. And they're fearful. They're anxious. And they ask, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Right there, that is where they doubt who God is. And he calls them out for their unbelief, which you kind of go, wait a second, what does that mean? You know? Yes, their life is nuts around them, but they are doubting in who God is. But don't we do the same thing every day? How many times are we having the waves of crazy crash in around our boat, but yet he is right there with us saying, "Where is your faith? Focus in on me." And are we trying to fill it up with what we can control? I mean, maybe it looks like this country is out of control, so God isn't in control. Or I lost my job. God doesn't care. My kids are not following Jesus. God isn't in control. Or I have no time for myself. God doesn't love me. Or I have no time with friends. God is punishing me. I mean, what are we thinking through our circumstances of who God is? God says that he will give you the grace and power to accomplish his will. He says he is with you. He says to do it in his strength. But are you believing that? Or in your anxiety and stress, are you thinking that you need to have it all figured out yourself? So ladies, the lie of our unbelief is that God isn't enough for me, that I need something more. And we have to think through in the midst of our worry and our fear and our anxiety, what am I not believing about God? Our unbelief then leads to our discontentment. This is our dissatisfaction of not having what we have decided we need. Our discontentment shows itself up when we abandon a biblical view of God and a surrender to who God is. We don't view God accurately, and we don't want to surrender to what he wants for us. And this shows up in our "if only I had," or "I should be," or "I should have," or "I don't like this." I mean, we have to fight our discontentment, because discontentment is that dissatisfaction of not having what we have decided we need, because we won't be anxious for something we don't think we need. So what is your discontentment? What are those if onlys in your life? If only I could send these kids to grandma's house. If only my kids called me. If only my husband would pay attention to me. If only these kids would obey. If only the sun would shine today, but today it did, praise the Lord. If only I had friends. If only my kids were like my friends' kids. If only my husband would lead. If only I could lose 10 pounds. If only I could I wouldn't feel like a failure every time I look on Facebook or Instagram. If only my kids loved Jesus. I should have time to myself. I should have whatever I want. I should not be inconvenienced by my kids or my parents or my friends. Or I don't like it here. I don't like these people. I don't like these relationships. We have to evaluate what are our if-onlys in our lives. I should haves and I don't likes. And now that's not to say that we don't have legitimate concerns in our lives. We all have trials and pressures around us. So let me illustrate this by borrowing an example from Paul Tripp. Imagine a circle, and inside that circle is another little circle. Now the little inner circle, that is your circle of responsibilities. And the bigger circle is your circles of concerns. Now think about, what are your responsibilities in life? For me, it's to be a child of God. I'm a wife, and I'm a mom of adult children, which is different than just being a mom. Those are my responsibilities. That's all that I need to worry about, right? And then those outer things, the circle of concerns, that's where like my kids' issues show up in, my husband's job shows up in, my friends' lives show up in. But I can't worry about that. I can't control any of that, can I? I have to leave that before the Lord through prayer and surrendering the results to God. And my responsibilities are the ones that I just need to faithfully follow the Lord and do what He has called me to do. So think of Paul asking for the thorn to be removed in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I mean, Paul had a genuine concern, and he prayed, but he left it with God and what God would do with it. He prayed 3 times, but it doesn't say he tried to control it. He doesn't even tell us what it is. He learned that he could be content with his difficult circumstances. And for each of us, that might look differently. Maybe it's being content with a health issue, a loss of some sort, a difficult relationship, a rough work situation, your finances, or the mundaneness of life. It isn't that they aren't hard. We should bring these concerns before the Lord. I mean, He wants us to cry out to Him and to be honest with Him. God never asks us to deny our reality. That is why I love the book of Psalms. They cry out their struggle to the Lord, and yet they choose to trust in Him. But if my circumstances don't change, will I still choose to see that God is more than enough for me? So our unbelief leads to our discontentment, which then leads to our anxiety. But we tend to go right to our anxiety and forget about what leads us there, which is our unbelief and discontentment. Anxiety focuses in on the uncertainties of life. This shows up in your what-if thinking. What if I never get a moment to myself? What if I get sick? What if I messed up my kids, which I did? What if we didn't school them the right way? What if I have another panic attack? What if I lose my job? What if my marriage is always like this? What if I don't get married? What if my kids never get along? What if these relationships never change? What if I get a serious illness or my husband does? What if I have to take care of my parents? What if I'm never happy? Our anxiety has us meditate on all the uncertainties of each of these situations we are in. And worriers are masters at meditating. I mean, we start playing it over and over and over again in our minds. we think, well, what if this happens? And we go down that rabbit trail. What if that happens? And we go down that rabbit trail. And then we try to control the situation for the outcome that we want. But what we must do is leave our concerns with God and meditate on the certainty of who He is. For He and His word are the only certainties that we have in this life. Our anxiety and worry scares ourselves with our imaginations. God tells us to fear not. He tells us to stop scaring ourselves. Remember when your kids were little and they would have bad dreams and they would be freaking out at night thinking there were monsters in their rooms? I mean, our kids were scaring themselves with their imagination. There was never a monster in their room. And this is what we do in our lives. We scare ourselves with our imaginations, with our what ifs. And just like what we tell our children, don't be scared, I'm right here with you. God tells us to fear not because He is with us. Do you know that throughout Scripture, when it says to fear not, it also tells you something about who God is? Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I will fight for you. Fear not, I am the one who helps you. Fear not, is there a God beside me? Fear not, the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you have more value than the sparrows. Fear not, for I am the first and the last. If your struggle is fear, look up all the fear nots in the Word of God and make a list of what it shows you about who God is and meditate on that. And if that doesn't calm your soul, then we don't know who our God is. I mean, He created the universe. He created you. And He calms the sea with one word. This is the one who the disciples saw in their moment of trial, who said, "Peace be still," and the sea was calm and asked, "Do you not believe who I am?" And we can have peace through the storm knowing that God is the captain of our ships. My anxiety, fear, and worry come from my belief that I won't get what I want or what I think I need, which is driven by my belief that God is not enough for me. And if He isn't enough for me, then nothing He created will satisfy me. There's no amount of money or status, shopping, eating, a perfect family, or anything that will satisfy me. When we enter trials, this stirs up what we place our value in, those idols of our heart. And idols are what we worship or what we value. It reveals what or who we are looking to for peace. In my own heart, it has shown up in my own agenda or my idol of my children, because when that gets taken away from me, then my emotions tend to flare. What has it stirred up for you? What is making you lose it with those around you? What are those if-onlys and what-ifs that keep coming back into your mind? So now that we recognize that our anxiety comes from our unbelief, our discontentment, and our focusing in on the uncertainties, then how do we live in peace? We're now going to focus in on how to work through our anxiety, through our contentment, our thinking right, praying right, and doing the next thing. First off, contentment. We must seek to be content that I am satisfied with things as they are because God is more than enough. This just isn't optimism and smiling through it. This is recognizing that I don't need anything to change because He is all that I need. Girls, this is a process that the Holy Spirit works on in our hearts through our knowledge of who He is. And it takes time. This doesn't happen overnight. There's no quick fix. But as we meditate on the truth of who He is, we will grow in this. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 3 say, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellency. These verses talk about the fact that we receive peace when we know him, and he gives us the power for all things through knowing him. Now, when we know him and surrender to him, then we will be content with his plan for our lives. Recently, I was listening to the autobiography of Johnny Erickson Tada. For those of you who don't know her story, she was in a diving accident at the age of 17 that left her a quadriplegic for life. She lived her first few years in a hospital where the Lord really did a work on her heart. She currently is 73, runs an amazing ministry for disabled people, and she has multiple struggles in her life. From her disability, she's constantly in a wheelchair, to cancer, to chronic pain. But her hope comes not from her circumstances changing, although when she reaches heaven, it will. No, her hope and her contentment comes from knowing who walks alongside her in this journey. And that is the same for us. Her situation is hard, and she acknowledges that, but she chooses to trust her Savior moment by moment. She leans in on those promises of God. And when she can't sleep at night because the pain is so great and she can't even turn herself over in her bed, she recites his promises to herself that she has memorized. Ladies, it's the same for us. Your life is hard. All of us, it's hard. But our contentment comes from knowing that God will enable me each day to choose joy in the midst of hardship. Second, so we did our contentment. Second, we're going to track our thinking. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." We have got to conform our thinking to what God says, not what the world says. I mean, the world will tell you, follow your heart. Do what you want to do, as long as it makes you happy. That is useless. That is not where you're going to find peace. Our hearts are wicked, according to the Word of God. But often we do not know what we are thinking, and we focus so much on what we're feeling. But our feelings are really the indicators in our life of to what we are thinking. Our emotions are that check engine light on the car. When we blow up in anger or anxiety or despair, it shows what you're thinking. Our emotions are not wrong. God has made our emotions. But we have to recognize that our thinking is the boss of our feelings. If you want your feelings to change, change your thinking. That is why we need to think on what is right from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. It says that peace comes when our thinking is right. And this is in the context of the verses before it that said, do not be anxious. We need to point our thinking on the certainty of who God is instead of scaring ourselves with the monsters under our bed. We need to remind ourselves of who he is. But often our thinking is more focused on us instead of God. For example, this fleshes out in my relationship with my mom. My mom has a lot of physical issues with her ankles and her knees. And this is a result of a misdiagnosis, some botched surgeries, and her not dealing with it. Now understand, I'm the only person my mom has. My parents were divorced when I was in high school. My father passed away the year I got married. And my sister died a few years ago. So the reality is that I will be caring for my mom. And this at times can cause me a lot of anxiety, if I'm honest. And I have to track my thinking in this process. I can scare myself with all of the what ifs. What if her leg doesn't heal? What if she can't live on her own? What if she needs to move in? What if she dies and doesn't become a believer? Now, if you stop and think through my situation, my focus is mostly on me and my inconvenience. It isn't on God. Now, this is a genuine concern in our household, and I pray that my mom will surrender to the Lord, and that she'll be able to walk, and that is where I have to leave it. I have to control my thinking and focus it on who God is. I have to realize that God is growing me through this trial and using it in her life also. And if she doesn't walk, God is still there walking through this storm with us. But I have to take my what if and make it a even if. Even if I care for her and she doesn't walk, God is still good and in control. I have to take it a step further and think through, what am I discontent about with this? And if I'm honest, I know this sounds really terrible, but I'm sure, I pray you can relate. If I'm honest, I really don't want my next 10 years to be caring for my mom. It's just selfishness on my behalf. And when I work through that, I need to take it a step further and think through, what am I not believing about God? Ultimately, in this circumstance, I'm not believing that God loves me gently through the process because he's not really giving me what I want. Do you see how when I track my anxiety, my what if, to my discontentment, I don't really want to do this, to my what do I not believe about God, that I don't think he loves me through this, that I get to the root of what my sin is and I can actually deal with it then? And then it's the sweetness of the Lord that in my quiet times, he will point me to Psalm 104 and shows me his power and majesty and his care, and it realigns my focus to carry me through this. Or what about you? Maybe your anxiety is something completely different. Maybe it's over Johnny throwing a temper tantrum in the store. So you think through all the what ifs. Maybe it's your grandkid, Johnny. What if he embarrasses me? What if my friend or someone else I know sees it? What if the people in the store think I'm a bad mom? What if? Instead, change it to even if. Even if Johnny does throw a temper tantrum, which he will, I know that God will enable me to faithfully parent him. And my worth is in Christ alone, not in what people think of me. So track your thinking. Write down your if-onlys and your what-ifs and find patterns in those to see which areas of your lives are the parts you struggle with. Remember, typically, it's certain areas. It's those areas where you tend to feel weaker in. I told you that my areas were my health and my kids. And after I made the trip to the ER, every time I had an unusual pain, I thought something major was happening. And I did have a lot of unusual circumstances, from my face being numb to my whole left side being numb, all sorts of weird things. I had to stop scaring myself, though. Or my other area was with my kids. When my kids were younger, I took train a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. And I thought that it meant if I did everything right, they would turn out to be perfect little children. Guess what? They're not. They're sinners just like me. And I was so worried that I had to do everything right, though. There is no way to parent perfectly. Your kids are going to be messed up because they are sinners just like you, and they need a savior just like you. And my parenting wasn't going to be their savior. Only God can. So where your thinking is pointing to, so think through, where is your thinking pointing to your unbelief and discontentment? And ask yourself, what are you not believing in that situation? Because we have to reject our wrong thinking. Since God commands us to fear, not to fear, we are able to obey this. Train your brain to think correctly. Concentrate on God's word. Memorize his truths and focus on the truth of who God is. He will always meet my needs. He forgives my sins. He is always up to good in my life. He loves me. He will give me the grace I need. He is in control of all things. He is present with me. He is the same. He is trustworthy and he is wise. I have to reject my wrong thinking that he doesn't care in this situation about my mom. And I have to meditate on Psalm 104 that shows me he is able to do everything. So I'm going to be content. I'm going to think right. And then I'm going to, thirdly, I encourage you to pray right. In Philippians 4, it says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." This passage tells us not to be anxious, but to pray, and then we will have peace. This is convicting to me because often when I pray, I just worry online. Instead of believing in who he is and leaving it there, I'm hashing out the situation and trying to figure out how I can fix it to meet my needs, how I can control it. So am I coming to prayer and believing in who he is? And am I surrendering to his will? This passage tells us also to pray in everything. There's nothing too small or too big to bring before the throne of grace. This passage also tells us to be thankful. A thankful person is not an anxious person. When we are anxious, we want something different, and typically we aren't grateful. But when we choose gratefulness, it lets go of control. It doesn't happen automatically, but I think this is an area that we can all grow in, just learning to give thanks. God wants us to pour out our hearts to him, and that is why I love the Psalms. I mean, think of all of the hardships that they were going through and how they would pour out their hearts before the Lord. For me, practically, this is me pouring out my complaint of my hardships before the Lord, yet choosing to trust in what he will do. Ladies, you can do this simply by praying through the Psalms every day. Pick the date. Today's the 7th. Look at the 7th Psalm. Add 30 to it. You can look at the 37th Psalm, the 67th Psalm, the 97th Psalm, and the 137th Psalm. That's 5 Psalms that you can look over and just pray through one of those each day. When I take my eyes off of my issue and point it to him, then I will have peace. 4th, so I'm content, I'm thinking right, I'm praying right, I'm going to do the next thing. Don't let your fear make you not fulfill your responsibilities. Perseverance is what it's all about. Take those baby steps. Face your fears with God's help and fulfill your responsibilities. That means do the basics. From making your bed to making dinner at night, trust that God can help you through each of your circumstances. I think it's really important for us to care for our bodies in the midst of anxiety. Guarding our minds is really the most important part of the battle, but guarding our bodies is also important. Exercise, eating right, and getting sleep will strengthen your ability. Proper rest, exercise, and nutrition is important, but find time to be in the Word and to fill your minds with His truths. In my situation, I know that means I have to take time to care for myself by being in the Word every day, and also taking care of my needs with rest and exercise so that if need to, I can take care of my mom. I can't be paralyzed with fear, but I need to take the next step. So when we recognize the what-ifs and the ifs-onlys stem from our unbelief and our discontentment with our lives, once we recognize the area of our weakness, we can see where our thinking is wrong. Then, through knowing God, we can think right, pray right, and do the next thing, trusting in the captain of our ship. Please hear me. This isn't about doing steps 1, 2, and 3, but this is about knowing God, knowing that he loves you, that he is there with you, and that he has control of every circumstance in your life. That means we need to study his word in and out of trial so that we are ready at each moment. And as we grow in our fear, worries, and anxieties will lessen because we're not going to fear our circumstances. We will fear who he is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you just so much for the sweet time with the ladies. I pray that you would help us to really just think through what are the things we do not believe about you, that you would help us to confess that before you, Lord. Help us to be content and to truly know who you are. Lord, show us the areas where we need to strengthen our resolve and help us to be women of the word that know you and love you. In Christ's name, amen.